Investment Flash.
Buddy, have you seen the Russell 2000 lately? Small caps are absolutely on fire, up 22% in the first half of the year. And honestly, the momentum feels like it's just getting started.
Look, I'm going to push back right away. It's July 4th, 2026. This is Investment Flash. And Tom, that 22% run might be the biggest head fake of the year. I'm Marie, joined by Tom and Gerald, and we have a massive divergence to unpack today.
Yeah, look, Marie's right to be suspicious. While Tom's celebrating the Russell being within 2% of a 52-week high, the senior loan market is telling a completely different story, specifically in software debt, where things are looking fairly grim.
No way, Gerald. You're really going to rain on the small cap parade because of some leveraged loans? The broadening of this rally is exactly what we've been waiting for since we talked about selling the NASDAQ 100 ETF yesterday.
All right, but the thing is, the share of private software debt trading down more than 20% is at a five-year high. That's not just a minor hiccup, that is a systemic signal that the software as a service model is hitting a massive wall of credit stress.
Wait a second. This is what I mean about the Our View synthesis today. We've got the small cap ETF, the IWM, priced for perfection with a price to earnings ratio near 20. While the senior loan ETF, ticker BKLN, is literally sitting at a 52-week low.
For real? I didn't realize the senior loan ETF was that depressed. But isn't that just the AI apocalypse fear-mongering hitting the older software names?
Honestly, the data suggests this distress started well before the AI hype really took hold. It's a leverage problem, and if the Invesco senior loan ETF is cracking, those small-cap valuations in the Russell 2000 look like they're built on a very shaky foundation.
Exactly.
100%.
That's the whole story.
See, this is why we're looking at the software ETF, ticker IGV, as a potential sell. It's already down nearly 9% year-to-date. And if this credit contagion spreads from the loan market to the equity side, there's a lot more room to fall.
Okay, fair enough. The credit side is spooky, but let's talk about some actual wins. BAE Systems and Leonardo just landed a massive $6 billion stealth fighter contract, along with Mitsubishi Heavy.
Yeah, that's a proper result. BAE is already up 13% this year, and securing multi-year revenue on a major platform like that is basically a license to print money for the next decade.
Not so fast for everyone in that sector, though. Thales is taking a major hit because Germany scrapped their frigate program. It just shows that, in defense, you have to be on the right side of this specific contract, not just the sector.
The thing is, Germany cancelling a defense program is becoming a bit of a tradition, isn't it? It's like analysts revising price targets after the stock has already moved 50%. It's basically a free retirement plan for the indecisive.
Ah, fair enough, Gerald.
Okay, that's a bit brutal, but he's not wrong. We're bullish on BAE Systems and Leonardo because that fighter jet money is locked in. But Thales is a clear sell after that frigate news.
Right. And speaking of things being locked in, let's look at this Bloomberg survey of French economists. They're suggesting the Fed might actually hike rates again this year while the ECB stays on hold.
Wait, another hike? No way. The labor market is softening. Everyone is talking about a pivot.
Hold on, Tom. That's exactly why this is our most original take today. If the Fed stays hawkish because of sticky inflation while Europe cools off, the dollar is going to absolutely tear through the euro.
Exactly. And that would be a disaster for long-duration treasuries. The TLT is already near its 52-week low. If the market has to reprice for a Fed hike instead of a cut, that bond slide is going to get very ugly very quickly.
See, this is the macro lens people are missing. If you're long the euro against the dollar, you're basically betting against a widening interest rate gap that seems more likely by the day.
I'm still skeptical on the hike, but if you're right about the dollar, that actually helps my domestic small caps, right? Most of the Russell 2000 companies don't care about the euro-dollar exchange rate.
In theory, yes, but they do care about the cost of debt, Tom. If the Fed hikes, those small cap interest payments go up. And we already know from the software loan data that the debt service capacity is stretched thin.
Let's pivot to crypto for a second, because the signals there are just as conflicted. CoinDesk is reporting that whales accumulated about $17 billion worth of Bitcoin in just 2 weeks.
Now that is a signal. When the big fish are buying while the ETFs are bleeding $4 billion, that usually means we're at a cycle low. I'm feeling bullish on a Bitcoin bounce here.
I'm going to push back here. The options market is still incredibly nervous. We're seeing a 16% put-call skew on Bitcoin and an even higher premium for Ether puts, which means the professional traders are still paying a lot of money to hedge against a crash.
Yeah, look, it's a classic tug-of-war. You have the long-term holders stacking sats, but the derivatives market is bracing for another leg down. I'd be very careful with the Bitcoin and Solana calls until that option skew flattens out.
All right. I'll keep the crypto exuberance in check for now. But can we talk about Asia? The decoupling from China is moving so fast, it's actually showing up in 30-year data points.
Right. Japanese clothing imports from China just hit a 31-year low as they shift production to Southeast Asia. This is a structural earthquake for Chinese manufacturing.
It's not just textiles either. South Korea is literally reviving an old tungsten mine just to ensure they have a supply chain that doesn't rely on China. That's why we're looking at Singapore equities and the Rare Earth Miners ETF, ticker REMX.
And South Korea. The EWI is up 76% year to date, but it's still 18% below its 52-week high. There is so much room for that to catch up as they build out this China-free ecosystem.
Look, the South Korea story is fascinating. It's about resource self-sufficiency. It's a massive policy shift that we think justifies a long position in South Korean equities, even after that huge run.
Fair enough, but let's check the temperature in Taiwan. Yuanta Securities, the biggest brokerage there, is looking for a $1.3 billion loan to fund their expansion because the local stock market is booming.
Buddy, that is a massive vote of confidence. When the biggest broker in the region is tapping the banks for a billion plus to handle the volume, you know the Taiwan rally has legs. I'm all over the Taiwan Equity ETF, ticker EWT.
Wait, just remember what happened with the Japan activist probe. Nikkei is reporting that regulators are looking into shareholding reports, which could slow down the corporate reform narrative that's been driving Japanese stocks like EWJ.
Yeah, exactly. Japan is up 14% this year, but this regulatory friction could cap the gains for a bit. It's a hold for me on Japan until we see how aggressive this probe actually is.
Oh, come on, Gerald. A little paperwork check isn't going to stop the governance revolution. You sound like me trying to call a bottom on memory chips back in 2022.
Yeah, we remember that, Tom. This is the 6,000th bottom for chips, I think you said.
All right, I walked into that one.
By the way, as always, none of this is investment advice. We're just three people and a lot of data. Do your own research before you move any capital.
Before we wrap, we have to mention the energy shift. The Jones Act waiver that allowed foreign vessels to move fuel during the recent crunch really boosted the Gulf Coast refiners. Energy stocks in the XLE are up 16% this year because of that flexibility.
Right, but the shipping stocks in the SEA ticker are taking the hit because they're losing that domestic monopoly. It's a great example of how a single policy waiver creates immediate winners and losers in the energy complex.
And Asia is taking notes. Bloomberg says they're building out massive energy buffers and diversifying into clean energy to avoid the Iran-style supply shocks. I'm looking at the clean energy ETF, ticker ICLN. It's still way below its highs.
Totally.
Spot on.
That's it.
So to sum up our view, we're playing the divergence. We like the defense winners with guaranteed contracts like BAE Systems, and we're wary of the small cap euphoria because the senior loan market is showing real cracks in software debt.
Exactly. Short the senior loan ETF, long the defense giants, and keep a very close eye on that Fed-ECB rate gap. If that widens, the dollar is the only place to be.
I'm still holding out hope for my small caps, but I'll admit the credit data is a reality check. If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with all the charts and sources.
Good call, Tom. We've covered a lot of ground today, from stealth fighters to South Korean tungsten mines. It's been a busy one.
Yeah, look, it's going to be an interesting weekend to see if the crypto whales keep buying that dip or if the options traders get their way.
I'm betting on the whales. We'll see who's right soon enough. Thanks for listening, everyone.
We'll be back with you soon. We're back for tomorrow's weekend edition at 10 a.m. London time. See you then.